Sunrose Yoga. Reveal and remember your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. The Sunrose Yoga podcast is a collection of audio recordings, videos, and writings about the practices of yoga. The mission of this podcast is to share the teachings in an accessible way and to hold space for meaningful discussion about yoga. To learn more, please visit sunroseyoga.com. The podcast is made possible by the generous donations of students. If you practice with us here, please consider making a one-time or recurring donation over at sunroseyoga.com. Thank you. Hi, everybody. It's Kelly, and you're listening to episode 122 of the Sunrose Yoga podcast. I'm really happy to be here with you today. This is a 75-minute all-levels class that I recorded this morning at the People's Yoga in Portland, Oregon. And in this class, we focus our attention a little bit more deeply on satya and also on svadhyaya, the practice of self-study. And it's an all-levels class, creating a little more internal alignment, working a lot with the hamstrings and with the low to mid back. I'm so glad you're here, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Jai.
Hi. Well, it's good to be here with all of you, fellow early morning weirdos. Let's find our way to a seat. A breathing seat, which does not have to be sitting. Could be lying down if that's where you find access to your lungs. And take some quality time to like really settle into it. To settle into the bones and to invite the bones to settle into the support that's already happening on the earth. And from that supportive place, start to relax into the natural length of your spine. The length that is already happening. You don't have to do a thing, but let it reveal itself. And you might find that just by doing this, by settling in and relaxing into length, you're invited to become more interested in your breaths. And really and truly at its heart, like that's all that the yoga is becoming more interested in what is actually happening. For the next couple of breaths, next three or four or five breaths, let's breathe in through the nose and we'll breathe out through the mouth, letting a soft happen. Letting it come at your own pace and in a way that feels natural. And for the next couple of breaths, we'll continue to breathe in through the nose, but we'll breathe out through the nose as well, keeping that open quality in the mouth. You might just close the lips, but keep the teeth wide and keep that space in the mouth as you exhale through the nose. It might sound slightly Darth Vader-ish. And in time, invite your breaths to resume their natural cadence and shape and sensation. Just noticing what you feel in your body. And in time, allow your hands to find their way to your heart in whatever shape or gesture or mudra feels natural. And it doesn't have to be anything official. It doesn't have to be anything you've seen or done before. Just let the weight of the hands rest at the heart. And as you do that, you might find that some word, some internal mantra sort of bubbles up. You know, maybe something like resilience or onward or peace or presence. And if a word comes to you, you know, you might silently repeat it to yourself as you breathe in. And as you breathe out, feel it in your body as a sensation. And with an exhalation, you might just bow to your heart. You might just bow to that mantra that bubbled up. And in your own time, in your own way, we'll start to move toward all fours, table pose. And you might bring your blocks to the top of your mat just so they're within easy reach. And we'll be on the knees for a bit, though I promise not forever. So for some of us, it's useful to pad the earth beneath the knees with a blanket. And really take your time to find your way into a stable tabletop shape. You know, you might really move your body around to find it. And, you know, your hands, they might be a little bit wider than the width of the shoulders. Or your knees, they might be a little bit wider than the width of the hips. Like, do what feels supportive. Yeah. And make purposeful contact.
between your body and the earth. You might even sort of claw your fingertips into the floor. Release it. And we'll begin with some really simple, elemental, essential shapes. Let them happen as though for the first time, even if you've done them thousands of times. And so with a breath in, let's let the heart start to sag, dropping down as the tailbone points up and maybe the gaze shifts up, and we'll call this cow. And as you breathe out, press the palms of the hands into the floor. Let the heart float up as the head becomes heavy and the tailbone becomes heavy. We'll call this cat. And we'll move between these two shapes at the pace of your own breath. Letting the body move in the spirit of curiosity. Not worrying about doing it, correctly. I'm using air quotes just like it's 1997. And not worrying about whether what you're doing looks like what anyone else is doing or whether it looks like anything you've ever done before. But noticing what you're feeling. And the noticing is the way in. That's the way to the yoga. And so maybe the next time or two that you're exhaling into cat with the rounded spine, we'll stay in that shape for a couple of breaths. Releasing the jaw so the top of the head becomes a little bit heavier. The back of the skull becomes a little bit softer. Like if you can imagine what it feels like to, take out a ponytail that you've had in, for 15 years. Let that out. And maybe your sitting bones start to wrap around your body, pointing down toward the backs of your knees. Yeah. And from there, just at the pace of your own breath, let a couple more cats and cows happen, just letting the spine sort of neutralize. And in time, you might pause in cow, where the belly is dropped and the tailbone is pointing up. And we really don't usually need to deepen this because we have the assistance of gravity here on our belly and the assistance of some bendiness through the mid-back. Just notice what it feels like to be here. And can you let a little bit of softness happen in the elbows? So a little bend happen in the elbows. And in time, we'll breathe in and come back to a neutral spine, back to table. And you might shift the hips from side to side or otherwise just move around a little bit. And in time, we'll do some side bending at the pace of the breath. So we'll breathe in to table. And as you breathe out, we'll curl the spine to the right. So we'll move the right shoulder back toward the right hip. And we'll move the right hip forward toward the shoulder. And as you breathe in, come back to neutral table. And as you breathe out, we'll curl the other way. And don't be afraid to really bend the elbows here. And also don't be afraid to, experiment with the position of the neck and the head. too much on the wrist to be on all fours for this long, feel free to come down to the forearms. Like really, you know, make the posture work for you. Like you don't have anything to prove to a pose ever. The pose exists for you. And so the time we'll breathe in and come back to neutral. Just maybe, you know, notice what you feel. And then we'll sort of combine these movements and we'll create sort of like a little jump rope with the spine. So you might start by pressing the palms of the hands into the floor and rounding the back, shifting your weight over to the left, and then letting the belly drop down and the back arch as you move your spine in kind of a jump ropey way, dropping down and rising up. And again, it's yours. There's no righter way to do it than how you are. And I'm not just saying that, I really mean it.
And at some point, switch directions.
And you might, as we conclude this movement, you might make the movements closer to the spine. So they are harder and harder to see from the outside. And from here, you might walk your hands forward just a bit so that you're in a slightly longer table. And as you breathe in, you might shift the hips back toward the heels. And choosing a side, the right or the left side, will start to sort of slide forward back to a table with more weight on one side. And we'll let the weight then shift into the wrists as the belly drops down, coming back toward the middle. And then on the other side, we'll slide the hip back toward the heels, toward devotional. So we have sort of like either a circle happening, or some people would rather do this or like to do this as a horseshoe, where you don't do that final circle around the top. And again, like switch sides when it feels right. Or directions. And in time, we might just pause with the hips resting in the direction of the heels and the forehead resting, you know, on or near the floor. And you might just roll your head from left to right. And with a breath in, start to pull your body back toward table, back toward all fours. And we'll create a downward facing dog that's designed really for the backs of the legs, like to bring blood flow back to the backs of the legs. So we'll tuck the toes under, and even if this seems weird to start, just stay with me. We'll move the hips toward the heels. Keep your gaze lifted, and from here, we'll lift the knees away from the floor. I know it's slightly awkward. We'll start to straighten the legs, let the head become heavy. So you sort of unfold with the backs of the legs in mind. And once you're there, you know, you might bend one knee at a time. You might shift the weight from the left to the right. You might round and arch the back. Again, just sort of noticing like how your body and the shape engage with each other. And from here, so like really let the back of the skull open up. Let your face be soft. Let your gaze maybe settle between your big toes. Yeah. And with this attitude of ease, can you lift your right foot up off the floor, like even just a centimeter or an inch, just like the teeniest amount, and let the right hip stay sort of heavy in its pocket. Yeah. And we'll set that foot back down. And with the breath in, we'll do the same with the left. So just, you know, super subtle. Like, we're working in tinier increments. We're becoming aware of teenier and tinier things. Set that foot back down with the breath out. And then slowly start to walk the feet toward the hands. If you would rather do that in a big jump, you're always welcome to, but it's nice to go slow. And we'll dangle in a forward fold. Let the crown of the head be heavy. Let the back of the skull be soft. For most of us in this shape, like the work happens from the tops of the shoulders to the crown of the head. And you might bend the knees a little or a lot, depending on what things are feeling like. And you might feel the call to sort of sway the upper body from left to right. Or you might shift your weight forward and then back. And let's all do that. Let's shift our weight a little bit more into the balls of the feet so that the heels lift just slightly. And with softness in the knees and softness in the ankles, as you breathe in, we'll start to roll up. Let the crown of the head stay heavy. As you sort of put your spine back together. And just notice. And so we'll find our way into a stable standing shape. So for some of us, it will make sense to kind of wiggle things around first or shift things around, and then to place the feet logically and intuitively. feel the most secure in your stance. Let there be a little bit of softness in the knees and a little bit of softness in the ankles. And as you breathe in, we'll sweep the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, let's bend the arms at the elbows so they come to like cactus arms. And as you breathe in, reach the arms, hands, and fingers to the sky. And as you breathe out, cactus arms, goalpost arms. And we'll do it a couple more times, just at the pace of your own breath. In that goalpost or cactus arm shape. Let the knees be soft, let the ankles be soft. Let there be some ease in your hands. Notice where in your body things are getting interesting. And go to those places and just sort of like feel around from the inside. With a breath out, let's turn the palms of the hands to face away from the ears. Notice where you feel that. And with a breath out, we'll turn the palms of the hands to face in toward the ears. And as you breathe in, reach the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, dive forward with strong legs to Uttanasana, standing forward fold. As you breathe in, we'll bring the torso up halfway. Your hands, they might slide up the shins or up the thighs. And as you breathe out, fold forward, Uttanasana. And we'll move between those two shapes at the pace of your breath for maybe two or three breaths. Maybe noticing your experience of the shape from a place like your belly button, or your sternum, or your collarbones. And just get to know what's happening. Maybe after the third or so breath like this, we'll stay in Ardha Uttanasana, the halfway lift. And don't be shy about really sliding the hands up the thighs, because we're really going to get in there to our legs. Bend the knees a teeny tiny little bit. And can you send a message to your quads to lift the kneecaps? Sometimes looking down to see what's happening at your knees is interesting. Sometimes it can be, slightly demoralizing if nothing happens. But if that's the case, keep sending the message. We're just learning how to communicate. Now from there, can you send a message to your glutes, to your backside, to engage, to support your body, to support your spine? Notice what engages as you send that message. And so from here, we'll be in this shape for a bit. So really lift the heart, lengthen the spine, and we'll start to bend the knees a teeny tiny bit more, just like, 2 or 3 inches of a bend. Maybe not even that, maybe a couple centimeters. Let the tailbone become heavy so that the low back rounds. Re-engage the glutes. Draw the belly button a teeny tiny bit closer to the spine, so you might have even more rounding happening in the low back. And from there, invite your heart to bloom. So we're sort of picking up the heart, lengthening the spine, picking up the head. and we've found our way into something like Utkatasana from the supportive place of our low body. Nice, everybody. And with the breath out, fold forward. Maybe wiggle around a little bit. And from here, we'll place the hands onto the blocks. And with a breath in, we'll step the right foot back. About a full leg's length. And we'll just begin in this sort of lungy, stretchy place with the support of the blocks. Notice the length of your body from the center of your right heel to the center of your heart. Like so much space is already happening. Nice. And so we'll create a little bit of support here, maybe a lot of support, by engaging the right glutes. Maybe bending the right knee a little bit. We'll bring the hands to the top of the left thigh. So got some bending happening in the right knee and engagement in the right glutes. Tailbone is heavy. Belly is seeking out the spine just millimeter by millimeter. And let the sternum lift or the heart bloom. And with a breath in, sweep the arms, hands, and fingers to the sky. If it feels supportive. As you breathe out, let there be a softness at the level of your skin. And as you breathe in, let's reach the arms, hands, and fingers forward. We'll plant the right hand either on the block or on the floor right beneath the shoulder. So pretty close in, pretty tight in. We'll bring the left hand to the left hip, breathing into the length of the body. And as you breathe out, start to twist to the left, beginning with the face, letting that twist move into the throat and across the shoulders. Beautiful. Nice, super supportive through the sacrum, through the pelvis, through the low back. And can we rely on our legs to feel a little bit of lightness in the right hand? Nice, beautiful. And so with a breath in, we'll start to untwist. And as you breathe out, start to meander or mosey back to down dog. Take your time. Move like you. Do the things that your body wants to do on the way. Even if you think they're not yoga. They are. Listening is yoga. Notice the right side of the body and the left side of the body and what you're feeling. Let a breath in be an invitation to step your right foot forward between the hands and to find this sequence on the second side. So the hand comes forward and you might the foot comes forward. You might elevate the hands onto the blocks again. So you've got some space here to experiment, to notice the length and the space, the distance that's already happening in the body. From the center of the heel to the top of the knee, from the center of the heel to the center of the heart. And so let's use our back leg. Let's use the left leg, engaging the glutes. Send a message. Maybe bending the knee a little bit, maybe a little bit more. And then bringing the hands to the top of the right thigh, letting the tailbone be heavy. And the heaviness is just your tailbone appreciating gravity, the gravity that's already happening. And the belly moves just the teeniest, tiniest bit closer to the spine to support your lumbar curve. And the heart blooms. With the breath, you might circle, sweep the arms, and let there be that echo of softness. The feedback from the structure is the softness. Nice. Yeah. You're doing it right. Yeah. With the breath in, let's reach the arms, hands, and fingers forward. And we'll plant the left hand either on the earth or on the block right below the shoulder. So everything's pretty tight. You might bring your right hand back to the hip or to the sacrum and just notice what's happening back there. Breathing into the length of your body, and as you breathe out with your face, start to look to the right. Let your throat look to the right. Let the sternum look to the right. And you might, this is really subtle here, invite your right hip to move toward the back of the mat to create a little stability through the sacrum. Nice. The spines in this room are just beautiful. And so slowly, with an inhalation, start to unwind the twist. And with an exhalation, start to mosey back toward a downward dog or something like it. Maybe puppy, maybe anahatasana, maybe table or dolphin. Yeah, gorgeous. Wherever you can be that connects you with the length of your spine. Favorite things is looking around and seeing that everyone in the room is doing a different pose. I
feel like that we've reached an understanding. We get each other when that happens. And so from here, let's inhale and make our way to table, all fours.
And then as you exhale, we'll lower the elbows to the floor so that we're in like a forearm table. And notice what sort of naturally happens here just because of gravity. Our belly sort of drops and our tailbone points toward the sky. Let's engage a little bit. So we draw the tailbone, you know, just a little bit closer to neutral, and we'll draw the belly just a little closer to the spine so that there's some support for our lumbar spine happening. Beautiful, everyone, yes, that's exactly what I mean. And so one leg at a time, let's start with the right leg. Extend it straight back and press the ball of that right foot into the floor. Press out through the heel so you get a nice stretch through the back of the leg. And then also let the hip become slightly heavier in its pocket, just as we did in that one-legged dog that we began with. Yeah. And so let's try that with the other leg as well. So bring the knee back. Extend the left leg. Press out through the heel. Let the hip be a little bit heavier in the pocket. Stay. Yes. Oh, good stuff. Stay connected to the core so that the spine is supported. Okay. So from here, come back to forearm table, and we'll take that into forearm plank. Forearm plank can happen with both legs. plank and then lower the knees so that they're slightly back from where they were in forearm table. Yes. Oh, everybody's got supported spines, and that's the idea. So if you feel like everything is up around your shoulders, well, this might be slightly more challenging in the next moment. Invite your shoulders away from your ears. And if you can bring your awareness to the inner shoulder blades or the shoulder blades, then you draw them down the back. Yeah. Nice. And so with a breath out, let's lower all the way down to the earth. Maybe knees, belly, chest. Gorgeous, beautiful work. Super subtle. And so we'll come into some belly down back bending where we'll use all of what we've learned today. So to start, we'll start with the positioning of the legs. Tops of the feet, for the most part, are making contact with the floor, and the feet are parallel to each other. So that might mean that they're close together. That might mean that they're wider apart, but the feet are sort of working symmetrically. And if you're like me, your heels might flop one way or the other. Mine flop out. And so there's an engagement that must happen to bring them to the center. Other people's flop in. It depends on the natural rotation of your hips, if you can believe that. And so from here, let's bring ourselves up to our elbows in a super easy sphinx, like not all the way, because we'll create a little bit of support for us as we get there. Press the tops of the feet into the floor. As you do that, your kneecaps may lift. Press the pelvis into the floor and sort of wrap your sitting bones under your body. So your booty is really working here to support your low back. It's almost like a cat shape is happening. Draw the belly to the spine. And then with the upper body, we'll let the opposite happen. We'll let like a cow happen. So you might drag your hands a little bit closer to the body and let the sternum bloom. Don't worry if your shoulders are slightly hunchy. Don't worry about it. We really want to keep the low to mid back supported as we do this. Nice. So does that make sense where the low back is in cat and the upper back is in cow? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, beautiful. And with the breath out, let's come all the way back down. And you might do some reverse windshield wipers with the low legs, bending at the knees and letting the low legs move from side to side. You might do that just with the heels or just with the sacrum. And so part of our work is part of the tricky part of being a yogi is the self-study that comes with it, because we're always sort of checking and rechecking our ego. My teacher Kira always says, yoga will ruin your life. And so after you've done a little bit of reverse windshield wiping, come to a place, a neutral place where you feel supported and where there's no effort happening, and check in with your back. And if it feels like you've overdone it, or like you have to do something else now because your back is so tight, or something like along those lines, then next time, don't go quite so deeply. We have all of these opportunities to like take a look at what's going on and to choose to be honest
with ourselves and to move with integrity. That's satya, one of the niyamas. And this idea of self-study is svadhyaya.
And those are both niyamas, which are part of the eight-limbed path
that's described by Patanjali in the Yoga Sutras. So let's come into another little back bend, and we'll stay with that same idea of a rounded spine, a cat happening with the low body, and a cow happening with the upper body. And this time, we'll, again, begin by pressing the tops of the feet into the floor. And the upper body can be just sort of where it is, or if you'd like to take a super mellow intro to Sphinx, then do that. We'll press the tops of the feet into the floor. We'll press the pelvis into the floor. Wrap your sitting bones around like you're curling them toward your knee, the backs of your knees. Move the belly a little closer to the spine. And then we'll invite the heart, the sternum, to bloom. And you might, again, sort of find your way to Sphinx, or you might slide your hands back so that they're right underneath the shoulders. Let your neck and head find a shape of ease. So from here, keeping the low body in that rounded back, you might lift your feet away from the floor. And you might bend at the knees. See how that creates a little bit of challenge? That makes it harder to keep that rounding action happening in the low back. Yeah. And so some of you might like to experiment here by lifting the hands away from the earth and by reaching the hands back in the general direction of the wall behind you. Yeah. Continuing to round the low body and to bloom the upper body. Beautiful. And with a breath out, let it all go. And again, you know, you might do some little reverse windshield wipers. And take a moment of introspection to notice what's coming up in your body. If it feels like, ooh, yikes, I feel that, then maybe the next time you don't go so deep. And so from here, you might find your way toward child's pose or toward devotional, somewhere where the bum, the booty, the backside is resting near the feet and the forehead is resting near the floor. Letting the back of the skull soften, letting the jaw soften. And in time, we'll come all the way up. So you might come to sit on your heels. And in that shape, let's do a really elemental twist. So it could happen in Vajrasana, where you're sitting on your heels. You can also place a block between the feet. I also really like placing a block between the thighs here, so that there's a super stable situation happening in the sacrum. Or if it's more your medicine to be in Virasana,
where the heels are separated and you're sitting between the heels, then do that. And keeping our low body stable, we'll just start to twist to the right. So you might begin with your face. Let the twist move into the throat and across the chest. And you might take your left hand and hold on to the top of the right thigh. And with your right hand, you might hold on to a toe or your low back or the floor. And if you keep like some muscle engagement happening in your legs, then the low back, it has some stability, it has some security. And the twist happens in the upper range of the spine. Now, for some people, it might be interesting to breathe in and to reach the left hand toward the sky, and to breathe out and bend at the elbow to create sort of like the cactus arm there. And as you breathe in, we'll start to slowly untwist. Between sides, just take a moment to notice what you feel in the body. And when the time feels right, we'll twist the other way with an exhalation, looking to the left, letting the throat look to the left, across the chest. Maybe the right hand comes to the top of the left thigh. Maybe the left hand reaches back for a toe or something. And keeping that engagement at the legs will help us find stability, support for the spine. And it might feel interesting to inhale and reach the right hand to the sky. And as you exhale, to bend at the elbow. And as you breathe in, start to arm twist. And just pause and notice sensation in the body. And so in time, we'll come down to the floor onto our backs. And it will be useful for some of us to have a strap. And this next pose, this next shape, will require self-study and honesty. Because the idea is to be with our hamstrings, but your back will want to tell you that it should do the work. So that's the, I don't know, if this were an after-school special, that would be like the underlying concept. So come down to the floor onto the back, starting in a shape of constructive rest, just with the knees bent and the soles of the feet on the floor. And some of us, to start, will have such a relationship with our hamstrings already that we'll know that we cannot reach our big toes without the assistance of the strap. And if you find yourself with that set of knowledge, then go ahead and loop the strap around the soles of the feet. If you're curious, don't worry, you can be curious and try something out. You might take hold of your big toes with your index and middle finger and just start to straighten your legs. Now, if you start to round your back and your shoulders come up away from the floor, then this is not the option for you to really get into the zhuzh, the nectar of the shape. So holding on to whatever you're holding on to, whether it's your toes or the strap, let the tops of the shoulders be heavy. So your hands, they might be sliding down your strap a bit. From here, press out through your heels and notice what happens. Notice what engages. Maybe even let that awareness come up into and around the sitting bones. What's happening there? And then what happens if you press out through the balls of the feet? Just notice. So we'll find somewhere in between those two places where we're sort of shining out through both, but also letting there be plenty of ease that circulates through the tops of the feet. Can you let your sacrum become slightly heavier and your tailbone start to, you know, just point down so that if there were a weird laser beam coming out of your tailbone, yes, I just said that, it would run parallel to the earth. Again, you might reconfigure constantly so that the shoulders are heavy, so that this stays out of the back and into the hamstrings. Nice. And whenever it occurs to you to invite the sacrum to become a little bit heavier and to invite the laser beam in your tailbone to just point so that it's the beam is running parallel to the earth. Yeah. With a breath out, we'll start to let go of this just bit by bit. You might soften your grip on your strap. You might soften at the knees. You might, in time, release your strap altogether and, you know, let the heels become heavy and both of the knees hug toward the chest. And just let a little sway happen from side to side. From here, let's do something fun. Let's push the knees away from the torso until your heels are pulled to the floor by gravity with a thud. And we'll organize the heels so that they're about as wide as the sitting bones. And as you breathe in, we'll draw the right knee toward the chest.
And as you breathe out, we'll extend the right leg toward the sky. And you might bring your right hand just right to the right hip, maybe to the point of the right hip. And as you breathe out, let an external rotation happen in your hip. And this might manifest as your knee and your toes pointing out like a duck, or like first position in ballet. And in that place of external rotation, we'll start to bend the knee and bring the right ankle to the top of the left knee. And so if we could call the external rotation in the hip a bloom of the hip, allow that bloom to keep happening and allow the spine to keep lengthening. So you might feel your sacrum become slightly heavier. Now, without using the hands, you might lift your left foot up away from the floor, moving the left knee toward the chest in general, continuing to invite the right hip to bloom, continuing to invite the spine to lengthen and the sacrum to stay heavy. Now, for some of us, it will make sense to take hold of the back of the left thigh or the top, the front of the left shin. Invite the bloom to happen from the inside. So there's no external manipulation required to maintain the external rotation of the hip. And if it's okay for your body, you might sway from side to side. Start to investigate the hip, the sitting bone, the internal landscape. And in time, we'll slowly start to take apart this shape, maybe slowing the shift, the sway even more. Maybe releasing your grasp on the left leg if you have it, and lowering the left foot to the floor. And you might extend your right leg to the sky and just sort of like shake it out or jiggle it out. And release that foot back to the floor and spend some time noticing the right channel of the body and the left channel of the body. And when the time feels right, we'll find our way in on the second side by inhaling the left knee to the chest and then extending the left leg to the sky. And for some people, it's really useful to bring the left hand into the sort of left hip pocket. And as you exhale, to externally rotate the hip. Notice what that feels like. And then to bend at the knee and bring the left ankle to the top of the right knee. Blooming in the hip, lengthening through the spine. Possibly then, without hands, lifting the right foot away from the floor and moving the top of the thigh in the general direction of the torso. Blooming in the hip, lengthening in the spine. Possibly taking hold of the back of the thigh or the front of the shin on the right leg, with ease in the face and the shoulders. And you might let that slow sway happen from left to right.
And you might notice things like the distance from the sitting bone on the left side to the point of the left hip. And slowly we'll begin to unpack this shape, letting go of the sway, letting go of the leg, extending the left leg toward the sky and just jiggling it out. Taking a moment in that shape of constructive rest. And we'll begin to slowly move in the direction of a shape of rest or integration. So if there are movements that need to be made, then make them. Or changes to your clothing or your setup, then make those. And really take your time to get as cozy as you are able. And you might lie on the back or on the side or on the belly. You might lie with legs up the wall. Invite everything to settle into your bones. And invite your bones to settle into the support of the earth. And you might become aware of the breath and its movement throughout the entire body. you might begin to notice the sensation of breath as it moves through your nostrils, moving into your body and then back out of your body. And as the time feels right, start to invite a pulsation of movement back to your form, back to the fingers and hands, the toes and feet. Moving along the entire length of your body. You might hug everything back into the middle and sway from side to side. And in your own time, in your own way, start to move back toward your seat. And your hands, they might find their way to your heart in that shape that feels natural. Being with the weight of the hands at the heart. And being with whatever comes from there. Thank you all for being here and for sharing your practice and your morning. Peace.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Always ask if you have questions.